up. Today is Wednesday, April 25th, 2018.
We'll be doing business, security, and design this episode.
And my electric bill's due today. So future Krista, don't forget to pay that today.
Why are you not on the automatic deduction plan?
I don't think mine automatically can.
It definitely can. We're all using the same electric provider here. What are you?
Does it not? Or maybe when I first set it up, it didn't. Because I pay it every month. I should set it up to auto pay.
No, you totally can.
Okay.
Because I've lived here a lot longer than you have.
Future Krista, note canceled.
Because you will have set it up.
Because I will have set it up.
Well, when you set it up, you're going to have to deal with some terms and conditions on that website. Are you going to read all of the terms and conditions?
No one reads all the terms and conditions.
Well, that's what this article is about. Everybody from Uber to PayPal is facing a backlash against their user base because nobody reads that. And one of the requirements of the European General Data Protection Requirement is that their terms of service is easy to understand and read.
They bring up that the PayPal terms and conditions are longer than the Great Gatsby when printed at the same font. And also at the Senate hearing on Facebook, someone went to the trouble of printing it out, your tax dollars at work, and just so they could hold it up in the hearing, and it was like 2 inches thick. And of course, Zuckerberg. The horror story they tell here is about a woman who used PayPal since she was 16. And she used it for a lot of stuff. She had a lot of money in there, and she had, you know, it was fine. She was 28 by the time they figured it out. But because they figured it out when she was 28, that she joined before she was 18, she was in violation of the terms of service. They turned her off.
That wouldn't have happened under Elon Musk's watch.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's gone to hell since he left the company.
So, yeah, the GDPR requirement, I don't know when that kicks in, but it's very soon. And a lot of companies are scrambling because their terms of service have to really be, I mean, you think about it, you're going from the Great Gatsby to probably 5-6 pages at most.
You're going from Great Gatsby to Hungry Hungry Caterpillar for terms of service.
I don't know what that is.
It's a children's book. You didn't read Hungry Hungry Caterpillar?
No.
Maybe that was after your guys' time.
Green Eggs and Ham is about as far as I made it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Seuss.
Those were really short because it was one line per page.
My favorite thing from this article is in 2005, security software provider PC Pitstop LLC promised a $1,000 prize to the first user to spot the offer deep in its terms and conditions. It took 4 months before the reward was claimed. The incomprehensibility of user agreements is poised to change tech giants as Uber and Facebook, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's a good... The GDPR, probably some bad stuff in it, but that one it's hard to argue with because those terms and conditions are wielded like a cudgel for the consumer, and it's time we did away with that. Now, here's the question, though, and this is another, you know, like we can, the level one predictions. Will they simply have a different one for Europe and a different one for the U.S.?
Yes. Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It's funny because the way that the terms and conditions stuff is usually structured is to try to maximize all of the stuff that you as an individual give up and minimize your ability to take action against the companies. And so you could actually really, in plain language, say that. You don't have to say that in a lot of legalese. You can just say that, you know, you can't sue us, there's no... And you could really do it in like a page or two. But then I think that the meaning is a lot more clear what's happening and that you're the product when you do that.
And people might say no to that.
Yeah.
I mean, would you, if PayPal, for example, really, in plain language, itemized all of the insanity... Would anybody use it?
No, I mean, I don't think so. There's PayPal's, no protections.
PayPal's always been kind of a piece of shit, though, I think, personally. But.
Well, you know, things like FDIC insurance is like, if something really bad happens and you've got less than $100,000 in the bank or whatever it is now, you're not going to lose that money because there's an insurance policy in place on that money. And it's like, in the Facebook terms, in the PayPal terms and conditions, it's like, we own this and we can do whatever we want. It's like, okay. Sounds good. But it's just so darn convenient. I can't not use it. You know what else is so darn convenient? Tesla's workplace conditions.
Nice. Nice segue.
Except everything about the next three stories is the opposite of what you just said.
Tesla really is like, they're just, I don't know why they dominate the news. You said they were a darling company, but
I think they're a darling company, Well, it's clickbait, really. Let's be honest. People love to hear about Tesla.
We fall for it every time.
But it's also that he promises so much, and he's so arrogant about it. And when he fails, they love to rub his nose in it, which is kind of what's happening.
You just have to get right back on that horse after every failure and just, you know, keep on going.
That electric horse?
Well, in this case, some of these people are losing limbs and not being allowed to report it because that would make Tesla look bad.
Yeah.
So, and now OSHA has to investigate.
It's in California, you're supposed to report injuries in the workplace. And so the Bloomberg thing is like, oh my gosh, you got to register for an account. So we lost
incognito it. Window.
Yeah, I'll have to. But then we got to edit it together. And it's
but
like,
you at just, home, when you read, because you read all these, right? You don't just take our word for it. No, like
you
we
actually
say,
source it.
You actually go and read all these stories, right?
Because we get it wrong a lot.
I know some people do because they tell us.
It's, oh, that's good for them.
It's fine. Yeah, a lot of people with a lot of injuries that were not actually reported to OSHA is what OSHA is interested in. OSHA is the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, in case you're...
Oh, yeah.
More importantly, the report is that they are pressured not to do so.
Yeah.
And where, I think legally, no matter what, even if you don't want to, the company should report it. Yeah. But instead they're like, okay, yeah, this robot broke your jaw, but are you sure you want to blame us for that? Because you need this job, right?
You were somewhere you weren't supposed to be. You were inside the yellow caution tape.
You were inside the robot's comfort zone. It's not allowed.
And he will smack you down again if you do it again.
You bitch slapped him.
We shouldn't laugh about that. Workplace injuries are serious business.
You gotta laugh.
Wendell cut off the tip of his finger last year.
He drilled it. Thank you.
It was a drill. There was no
no cut, no slicing and dicing.
Yeah, no, I didn't. The only material that I lost was internal, so that was not good. I've almost got all the feeling back though. That's good. So, anyway, Tesla's contract workers have been pressured to accept debit cards for pay instead of a lawsuit, which apparently is not okay in California. But that also makes it tricky for them to get things like overtime pay for having worked overtime hours and all sorts of other crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's sort of the big item here. But if you read this article, it's even more stuff. It's very similar to the injury thing where it seems like... Now, these people were hired by a temp agency.
Yeah.
They're not Tesla employees per se, but they still have legal rights. So Tesla is quick to point out, hey... This is between them and the temp agency. You know, don't drag our name into this, but it's their crazy, you know, production hell, as Musk calls it, that seems to be fueling this whole thing.
Yeah. And I would say that if there is any merit to their claims, we will probably see that this lawsuit will have Tesla amended, Tesla included in it at some point in the future. But in order to do that, evidence has to be gathered. So. Right now, the way that this is structured, this is not... I would agree that this is not technically a Tesla problem.
Speaking of Tesla being in hell...
Yeah, the Tesla Model 3 production is shutting down once again.
Also, what is it with us? We've had 2 or 3 articles the last couple of weeks from BuzzFeed, and I'm not sure why or how that's happened, but it just has.
Well, I mean, you know...
Generic Getty images of... Musk not looking happy.
Yeah. Dirty secret, Krista. We use some news aggregation services to get all these stories together.
Oh, I know.
So
I know.
They use BuzzFeed, we use BuzzFeed. We can find an alternate source. I'll
I
tell
was
you what.
Curious.
You want it to be your job to go in and take all the BuzzFeed articles and get an alternate source?
Listen. I already have trouble finding design articles every week. So.
But yeah, this is the. So was it last week we talked about
the humans
his apology?
Are underrated. Yeah.
Yeah, so
we
he's.
Got that here.
So in order to fix that, they have to shut down. But it sucks if you work there because you simply don't get paid during that time.
Or you can take vacation time, I think was one thing they said.
Yeah, but I mean, that's your vacation time. So yeah. You could have done that anyway.
Excessive automation at Tesla was a mistake. Humans are underrated.
That also is going to push down those...
It sounds like something a robot would say that's trying to avoid the lynch mob.
They're now predicting 3,000. Is it a week? 3,000 a week or is it a month? I think it's a week. But they're going to have to go to 5,000 if they hope to reach their annual goals, which
they're
seems
unlikely.
They're asking
people to work overtime and stuff right now, right?
Well, that's what the whole temp agency article was about. And apparently there's some argument about whether or not they're paying them time and a half for that.
And also the secondary machine shop that's fixing all the botched parts. I mean, Tesla is spinning a lot of plates to try to meet some of their deliverables. But they have interest, like user interest from their products. So,
if you can't meet the demand. Is that...
Well, but there could also be a long tail to that disappointment if parts start breaking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're really paying a premium, you're getting your Tesla, and then horrible things happen. And plus, in the Tesla, there's that increased chance that it might catch on fire.
Because batteries can't wait to catch on fire if they're mad wrong.
To be fair, regular cars are filled with gasoline. There's a fire risk there, but it seems like the Teslas are more likely to do it.
They figured out the exact amount of engineering that has to go into preventing a gasoline fire, thanks to the people who bought things like the Pintos and the Edsels and those vehicles in like the late 70s, early 80s that just couldn't wait to catch on fire.
So you're saying we need a certain number of Tesla fires before we get the same treatment for them?
Yeah, we got to find the line. And so, like, you know, we started out at the high end, and so the Model 3s are the low end. We got to find the line.
Think how good the episodes of Cops are going to be in the meantime.
Can you imagine a version of, like, Knight Rider or something like that with, like, a talking Model 3, and it's like it's doing the jumps and stuff, but then the stuntmen are like, oh, my God, it's going to burst into flames. It will literally turn into... But
how much do those things weigh? They ain't jumping nowhere.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Jeff Bezos has revealed that Amazon has over 100 million Prime subscribers. This is the first time Amazon has ever revealed how many Prime subscribers they have, and I'm really shocked the number is that high.
Well, that's global, but it still is amazing. And that's, you think that's 100 million people paying at least $100 a year. The monthly subscription is more, so that would actually drive the total value up. That's crazy.
So with Amazon Prime, what all benefits do you get? You get the music, streaming video.
You get the music, you get the video, you get free ebooks, even though it's like, you know, crappy romance novels and stuff. But it rotates every month just like the video and stuff. You get the shipping.
Now, what's the deal on the shipping? You get
free, well, most items, it's getting to be more and more items, is 2-day free shipping. And it doesn't matter how many boxes it is. You can just... I've gotten paper towels on Amazon and had them shipped in a box by themselves. Prime free shipping.
And also, like, the Prime pantry stuff, there are benefits there. There's even Prime benefits for Twitch.
Oh, you get free games. Yeah. You can get some free Twitch games. And you get a free Twitch subscription, which you should give to your favorite Twitch streamers.
This week's episode of Level 1 News is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime, paving the way. No, I'm kidding. It's not brought to you.
Subscribe to us at twitch.tv/teampgp.
It is a great deal, in my opinion.
It is a great deal.
Yeah, Krista won't do it.
I don't order stuff from Amazon that often. I don't care about the other benefits as much, so.
Yeah, but what about the fact that River Monsters is on Prime?
That does make it much more tempting because I love River Monsters. But
yeah, if we keep reminding her that River Monsters is on Amazon Prime by the end of the week, she's gonna... You watch Level 1 News next week. The opener is gonna be Krista is now
Amazon Prime. I don't think so. I think I'll be strong.
Think about all the dog products you could get for free shipping.
I do look at stuff for her all the time. Dumb crap that I put in my cart, and then I say, I don't need that, and I take it out.
This is our strategy for getting lots of comments on the video that are to Krista saying, stay strong, Krista, hang in there. Don't cave to the peer pressure. Don't drink the Bezos Kool-Aid. It's like,
or everyone will say, get Prime, because Prime is awesome, and I use Prime.
Prime is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
But you know what's not awesome? Kaspersky, at least according to Twitter. Kaspersky Labs have been banned from advertising on Twitter, and the reason that they cited was kind of surprising.
Because Russia.
It's the whole Russian controversy. And Kaspersky, I don't know how do you prove a negative? Because they just over and over, they're like, we are not part of the Russian government. And who knows, maybe they are. But I don't think anybody has presented any really compelling proof of that.
Look at their name.
Well, I will go out on a limb here and say that if our intelligence service or our spooks or all the people that are, you know, yay America, you know, I love America just as much as the next person, are providing the people at Twitter with inside intelligence that makes them not want to advertise with, you know, Kaspersky or not want to accept Kaspersky ad dollars, then I think that could probably be public information. I mean... Is Twitter cleared for secret? Like, does Twitter have a secret clearance? Is that like a thing?
Or maybe it's, you know, they're coming to Twitter and they're saying, look, you understand how this whole FOSTA SESTA thing works. If we don't like you, you're just gone. Over
threats.
Yeah, and so we don't like Kaspersky, and we don't think they should advertise with you.
That doesn't sound like the communist Russia enemy of the 80s at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's like the 1980s was not that long ago. Why is it?
It was that long
ago. It is getting depressingly that long ago at this point. Yeah.
30 years ago.
But we have the technology to remember. Like, finally, for the first time in human society, we have the technology not to forget the mistakes of the past. And yet...
Most people don't remember 3 weeks ago. Equifax is now a forgotten... That's like a, you know...
When's the last time we did a story on Equifax?
It might as well be ancient Egypt at this point.
Qualcomm is cutting 1,500 jobs at its California offices. I bet those people are happy to have the Equifax monitoring service.
Unfortunately for them, Broadcom, the merger, did not go through thanks to the Trump administration blocking it on national security grounds. And like, so...
Again, it's like, why is this not public information?
They have to cut... Well, I think they did... They said it was China. You know, they were honest about that. They didn't want China to have control of the chip makers.
Okay.
But the good news is it's just the people in California. I don't think they have production in California, right? So probably just a bunch of useless managers.
I'm not really sure. Now, Reuters has got our next article, and I'm not really sure what to make of it, because it says tech firms, including Microsoft, Facebook, etc., vow not to aid in government cyber attacks, but it's like...
I read that article and was like, that just sounds like marketing BS.
But, well, the people that... there was some group that got together, and they were like, you must sign this. Say that you will not do this. But I don't think they have, at least that we know of.
I don't... But this is just... Like, these are global multinational companies. They get a lot of money from overseas.
They don't care about...
So...
Borders mean nothing to them. I mean, just look at their taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, forget making them sign something that says they're not going to be in the cyber attacks. Let's just have them pay their taxes. That would be great, right? Although it is interesting that I think Google and Apple did not sign it.
I think... Well, do you
listen,
think...
Listen, we might need to participate in some cyber attacks.
Yeah, we're not going
to... I'm going to have to give... Well, maybe that, but I'm going to give Apple and Google the benefit of the doubt, because I think that this... It looks like just lip service. Like, yeah. There's no way that this could... the way that you would commit to this is with something like open source or open hardware or whatever, and it's like we commit to being open and transparent with our products to show that we have not put in any back doors and that we are not providing... You know, aren't weakening whatever.
I don't think it's about that. It's not about, you know, security. It's about literally the government coming to you and saying, we must attack Russia, or we need China's, you know, we need to take them offline on this day or whatever.
What would Facebook do? Just delete the profiles that have logged in from a Russian IP address? I mean...
Well, I think in terms of lawmakers, they understand it only on a level of like... A lot of them probably buy into the hype, where it's like, Russia's attacking us, we must retaliate. You know, Kaspersky versus Google. That's what we need, because Google's more powerful, right? It's rock, paper, scissors.
I guess. Well, that would be interesting. I mean, what if Google or Apple were co-opted to deliver binary payloads behind enemy lines?
Exactly.
So
they're saying, agree that you won't do this.
Seems like open source would be the way to really prevent that. Gosh, there was a... That's another thing that's from the 80s, is the typewriters. The Russians were super paranoid about IBM typewriters spying on them or something. So they did something crazy with typewriters.
But also, open source would be the way to prevent Google and Microsoft and Apple.
Yeah. What can we do? Like, that's pretty lofty. Let's set some lower... Like, maybe we can solve some lower problems. Maybe we, level one, can come up with some ways of solving problems like Amazon warehouse workers, apparently, in the UK are forced to pee in bottles over fears of being punished for taking a break. Like, maybe we can fix that problem.
Why isn't that girl on Twitch?
Maybe she is, man. You don't know.
No, well, she doesn't have time because she's packing boxes.
I like that they picked that picture. It's really disappointing there's not already a bottle in the picture. So we can think about what that possibly could be.
We talked about this last week, but I'm just waiting for that first bottle to accidentally get shipped.
Yeah.
Because what do they do with it, you know, while they're packing? Eventually, one's going to get in there.
And they're going to realize, like, can you imagine being the employee who accidentally let that slip through?
And you get home, and it's like, you get home, and you're peeing after your bladder is completely full, and you're just like, oh, this is so relaxing. It's so sad that I have to pee in the bottle. Wait, where's the bottle?
As a recipient of one of the Amazon scanner gun things accidentally, which they were very happy to have returned, by the way. That is definitely going to happen. There's definitely going to be a pee bottle.
As a recipient of a piss jug, I was very disappointed in my
customers. I bet you're going to get like 6 months of free Prime if you accidentally get a piss jug.
Only 6 months?
Yeah.
I'd go for a year.
A year if you agree not to tweet about it or ever speak about it again.
I guess it's 6 months if it's just urine.
Oh, you think there's other kinds of jugs floating around?
So, but this is in the UK. This is not local. Although there was another story that we didn't include in California that was kind of similar. And yeah, they talk about it's 120 items per hour. So you have to pick 2 items per minute minimally to meet Amazon's expectations.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the circumstances. I mean, possibly.
And they talked about, I don't know, they interviewed a woman. I don't know if it was the blue-haired girl, but they talked about how the nearest bathroom was 4 flights of stairs, plus those are giant rooms.
Wow.
In the warehouse. So you're expected to do that, but still hit your 2 per minute. And that's crazy.
Well, it seems like, I mean, look at this warehouse. It looks pretty cavernous. I mean, it seems like an easy button solution, if Amazon is that worried about it, is to just deploy porta potties.
What about a drain? Just put a drain in the floor. All right. How about some sinks?
All the girls have
walls?
To have a she-wee. You don't know what shiwi is. Yeah. Look it up on Amazon.com.
You gotta wonder.
Google that. We're gonna destroy your Google search history.
Because they didn't discriminate. And some of the women they interviewed, or some of the people they interviewed, were women. So, like, are they just getting those really wide mouth Gatorades? Is that how they're doing
you get
that?
A shiwi. You order a shiwi from Amazon.
We've said it enough times now that the algorithm will have picked it up, and the algorithm is going to include banner ads on this video.
For sure.
Click the banner ad. No, don't click.
But you talk about, like, maybe what if we could set some smaller goals to try and combat this kind of thing? And I think one of those smaller goals would be maybe I shouldn't order paper towels from Amazon Prime, but I'm not going to stop.
Was this story the one, or were you saying something about they've got the little hand vibrator things where you put a thing on your
yes.
hand and it helps guide your, like, the
well,
AI
no,
is monitoring you and stuff?
I don't think they've put those everywhere yet, but you have a little scanner. And so, like, when you pack something, it's the scanner that you were talking about, but it's got a LED display on it. And if you're falling behind the 2 per minute, it beeps and it tells you to hurry. So they talk about
potty.
While they're peeing, the scanner is like, hurry, you must hurry. It doesn't know that they're peeing, but it's sort of a disgusting thing.
Why would you take your scanner? Ew.
What else are you going to do with it?
Maybe we could solve that with software and have like a peeing button on the scanner.
Wendell, when you had that scanner, it probably had pee hands on it.
But that's the thing. They're saying that Amazon is insisting that they don't time your pee breaks, but the employees believe they are very much timing your pee breaks.
Well, they have to be. Maybe not even intentionally, but they are.
Well, our next article is about a data firm that has leaked, confirmed that 48 million user profiles have leaked. And exactly as we predicted, their big claim to fame was combining the voter file with Facebook data.
It's pretty much a mini Cambridge Analytica. How many did Cambridge Analytica, how many?
I don't think they've got a final tally, but it's around 87 million at present.
So this is only 43 million, which is kind of like, who was it that had a terrible leak right after Equifax? And it was just, we barely even paid attention to it.
Oh, I remember. Because we covered it in the news. But
Equifax was just, it was so much bigger. But yeah, these guys, they had an Amazon S3 bucket that had no password, which is... It's like the most common thing we hear. We literally have one of these at least one every 2 weeks,
yeah.
Usually once a week. So a researcher found it, got in touch with a guy, and so it was like, hey, I got this. You should fix this. And so that was via email. And then they put a password on it the next day. And then the guy called him, or maybe it was ZDNet or whoever, you know, some journalist called him. And they were like, hey, what about this? And he said, no, it was never open to the public. And they're like, what about this researcher? He's like, oh, he's just trying to, you know, malign our name. And they're like, what about the fact that you clearly put a password on it the next day and he just stopped responding? It wasn't having it.
So yeah, that's how you end up in a ZDNet article. Congratulations. Yeah. Found the bucket. And oh, there's a video to go with it. Oh, I don't.
It's going to start playing. Don't turn it off.
You're clicking OBS.
Oh.
There you go.
There we go.
So, yeah, you're probably included in that. Congratulations.
$48 million. Wow. And that was in Bellevue, Washington, too. So that was not even like it's a foreign firm.
And it knows a lot about you. Probably not Cambridge Analytica level, but very close.
Meanwhile, in Florida.
Florida man.
I love stories that start with Florida man. If you ever come to the U.S., Florida is probably one of our most messed up states.
This is...
Sorry, Florida people.
It's a beautiful state. It's just
there
trashy.
Come the downvotes.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'll take whatever engagement I can get.
There's a lot of... That's one of our states where a lot of the animals are like really, you know, trying to kill you. It's like a little mini Australia.
Yeah. And hurricanes and tornadoes.
Yeah, mosquitoes and
murder logs.
Yeah, alligators.
So I think also this story, we have all personally been affected by this man.
Yes. Yeah. I've gotten at least a dozen calls, 97 million robocalls. It was the, hey, you stayed at a resort call.
Well, they don't know. They'd start it, though. They'd be like, hello. And you'd be like, hi. And then they would say, you stayed at a resort recently. And I was like, damn it, every time.
And these are also, this is the guy that did the local number. They call it neighbor spoofing, where they choose a number that's local to you. And so you answer it thinking it might be real, but it's just the real estate scam.
Yeah, they faked their caller ID. So the most amazing thing about this, though, is that the guy is just unbelievably unapologetic.
Yeah, he's really smug and just keeps downplaying it. It's like, oh, it wasn't that big a deal. And claims that he might have even helped some people. Because although not only is he spoofing, not only is he robocalling, but they claim that they're in cooperation with big resorts during the call. But if you agree to it, it connects you with just shady Mexican timeshares. So it's not even offering.
It's technically a resort, right?
Are those the ones where, like, if you're wealthy, you disappear? Because those are bad.
Probably. I mean, did any of us fall for it at this table?
There could be a machete attack.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Login Facebook data hijacked by JavaScript trackers. So this is our first of two stories from Josh.
Note the icon.
Yeah, note the icon.
The stock photo.
So if you have malicious JavaScript, you can steal the autocomplete stuff on the session cookie for Facebook, Facebook tracking cookie.
So if you don't know how OAuth works, ideally when you're clicking that login with Facebook, the site you're logging into doesn't have any visibility into your Facebook account. It just simply creates that account with a hash that Facebook gives it. And it can get set up like first and last name. It depends on the permissions you give it. But it doesn't know anything about you. Not only is it convenient, it's supposed to be secure because that website doesn't know.
Yeah, well, it turns out that 434, I think, of the top 1 million websites, including the cloud database provider MongoDB, had this malicious script on their website.
And the script is they use JavaScript to pull that information so they do know. So when you're logging in with Facebook, they're pulling your information from Facebook and to do their own tracking and, you know, data, the big data thing.
I thought that was a feature.
What the weird thing about this is MongoDB and there was a Bands in Town is another site. When they contacted them, they pretended it was like, oh, we didn't even know that was on our website.
Oh, that's funny.
You think maybe the dev team is just scraping those for their own personal? That doesn't make any sense.
There's a data analytics nerd in a dark, damp basement somewhere that is like, yes, my precious, come to me.
And meanwhile, he sold them all to Cambridge Analytica.
Well, the very next day, a similar but entirely unrelated issue showed up for LinkedIn. And I've actually used this feature before. I thought this was a feature, not a bug. I didn't know you could get a bug bounty for this.
Take note of the stock image, once again.
It's a different color.
It's a different color, different logo, but kind of similar.
Good job, Josh.
Doing his job.
Yeah,
Josh, is it Josh Constantine?
Constantine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad his last name's not Constantine. He could have been John Constantine's less accomplished younger brother.
He doesn't battle demons. He reports on social media.
And data breaches.
So this one is a little bit different. This is an autofill. So LinkedIn has this feature where it can take your LinkedIn information and autofill forms on websites. Basically works the same way. And is stolen the same way.
That's it.
Yeah, when users share their LinkedIn details, the quality. Yeah,
They tried to use a whitelist to fix it. So, in order to use this feature, you needed to whitelist with LinkedIn. But what these researchers have discovered is you can simply find one of those whitelisted sites that's not protected against cross-site scripting, iframe their login version, and you can still steal the LinkedIn data.
Isn't that amazing? You can iframe and steal data out of the iframe in 2018.
That's why iframes should be destroyed.
That's amazing.
But they're so convenient.
They're not. They're disgusting. They were disgusting in 1988. They're disgusting now.
Now, Palantir. We talk about Palantir sometimes. It's totally not ironically named.
Well, we've done.
Well,
we
not,
did the.
Not, that was intentional.
We did the big New Orleans story about it, and we did the one about the Middle East.
Well, recap that for us.
So, there's not really any news here. But we wanted to include this. This was written on April the 19th. This is a new story, but really they're making a big story about Palantir and really telling you how horrible they are.
They're a data mining company, and this just is, like everything else we've been discussing.
This is Peter Thiel, who's fairly famous, maybe most famous for his Trump tech campaign contributions.
Also the Hulk Hogan thing.
Oh, yeah, right, the Gawker thing. So here's... I guess here's sort of the timeline, and this is a very long article. I'm going to skip some details, but...
But it's on Bloomberg, so...
Palantir got started in the Middle East with the wartime stuff. So they were tracking terrorists, and they use what we've come to know is a Cambridge Analytic... what was the one we just talked about there? Can't remember the name of it, but it's the whole, like, get it, the Facebook policy. Get as many data points as you can and keep a running profile on people. And they're really good at it. They're amazingly good at it. So they took that wartime technology, they switched over to gangs, which we talked about, the New Orleans. If you're a gang member in New Orleans, you have a Palantir score. They actually quantify it and give you a number.
And it's deployed in 5 or 6 cities now with that same system.
Chicago, D.C., and a couple of others, maybe L.A. So then they did that, and then they moved on. They've moved it into the corporate world. They actually partnered with J.P. Morgan and put this in the banking world, which is incredible.
So how would that have gone in Middle Earth?
I was just thinking about that, because I imagine that when they started, they were thinking we're the Denethor here. We're using the Palantir to monitor the enemy's movements and, defend Gondor. And then, Sauron realizes... Denethor has a Palantir and is like, let me show him all of my might and freak him out. And it ends up making Denethor insane. And he almost destroys the entire kingdom.
So you're saying Peter Thiel's kind of like that, and the kingdom in this case is the internet?
He knows too much now. And now he's just despairing and not preparing any defenses.
They're amazingly good at it. So good that actually J.P. Morgan got freaked out and cut ties with him. After somebody leaked a document at J.P. Morgan, and they were like, we're never going to figure out who this was. And Palantir was like, we know who it was. And they're like, wait, you're watching us? You're watching the executives? And they're like, we watch everybody, bro. And so this kind of thing, the way the article sort of sums up is basically this is going to be everywhere. We're all going to have Palantir numbers before the end.
I'm just going to read this to you because it's amazing. And I laugh, but it's also really scary. The Palantir screen inside the box is connected to other boxes by radiating lines labeled with the relationship. Colleague of, lives with, operator of, cell number, owner of vehicle, sibling of, even lover of. If the authorities have a picture, the rest is easy. Tapping the database of the driver's license, photo IDs, law enforcement agencies can now identify more than half of the population of U.S. adults. We're already in there.
Go now and die in what way seems best to you. Denethor.
So, yeah, this is, and maybe, this might put an end to a lot of the Cambridge Analytica type stuff, because there's just going to be one universal, all-knowing, all-seeing big data company.
Yeah, if you were outraged by the Facebook thing, please direct your rage here, because...
Well, that's just Peter Thiel. That's his connectivity. And look at all... Wait, he's got his fingers in everything.
Lidless, wreathed in
Tesla,
flame.
Airbnb, Yelp, PayPal.
It's always watching.
We're back to the level one mantra of, if you build it, it will be misused, so don't build it.
Go now.
Except it exists already.
It's already too late. Speaking of people that things have gone horribly wrong for, millions of Chrome users have installed malware posing as ad blockers. Aww.
I can see how this would happen. Like, you know, you're in the app store and you're like, man, I really need an ad blocker that my, you know, my nephew keeps talking about. And then you just grab the first one you see, and that might just be one that's out.
So ad remover from Chrome is the one that they showcase here. Some researcher got a hold of it, looked into it. Turns out it's pulling data configuration files from an external source from the website whenever it wants, which is against the terms of service. When you update an app, you have to tell the user, no, they don't do that.
Yeah, it's got to go through the official Google sanction things to avoid abuse.
And well, it's definitely what they're doing here. They're abusing. Yeah.
And didn't this article also say there was like they audited like 40 of the 50 top ad blockers and all of them had some sort of deficiency?
Yeah, and they're using a similar icon. They're all pretending to be Adblock Plus or something like that. And they probably do the same thing. It's not complicated software. You can reproduce it fairly easily. They're probably pulling from the same lists even, because most of them are just public lists, but they're also probably spying on you.
You can't win.
You can't. And it's going to be fed into the Palantir database. You know what else is going to go into the Palantir database? Your Bitcoin transactions. It's like, no, not really. But Amazon's got the patent for that. They've just granted a patent for tracking Bitcoin transactions and selling the data to the government. So in light of yesterday's news about the IRS and Bitcoin, I think that it goes without saying that if Bitcoin were accepted by Amazon, that if those types of transactions are reported to the government, then the government is going to have a better idea about how much Bitcoin you have and how much you use Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is a patent that totally undermines the whole idea of cryptocurrency by creating an automated way to figure out who you are and tying that data to every transaction and then making that database available to the government or whoever. What do you think Comey would pay per transaction?
I think Comey would say that's how it should be designed to begin with. Well, but just have that built in.
Yeah, they're not going to give it to him for free. What's he willing to pay for that? Like, they're willing to pay. How much was it for the?
How many family members does he have to kill?
$1,500.
The gray key.
$1,500
per month, right?
No, per phone.
No, but they did a subscription plan, but it was much more expensive.
The subscription plan still has like a per device fee. That's basically that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you get $1,500 for an iPhone, probably like 50 for each transaction. That's good money.
Some future historian is going to write, then it's like, and then it was decided that, it was decided on that day that all citizens of the world will be assigned a universal crypto key when they are born, and that will be their key forever.
Well, that's kind of like the Chinese good boy point number. And the Palantir did the same thing with the, so you got a Palantir number.
I like how some of the news stories that we describe when it's like a domestic news story, it's couched in the best possible terms and we're freaking out like, no, this is really dark. And then the exact same thing happens in China and everybody's like, that's really dark. And it's like, they're the same. It's the same technology in both places. Do you guys not see that?
Or Russia.
Or Russia.
There's
a lot of parallels going on with Russia, too.
But Russia, though.
Well, this story is a little bit of a throwback. We were doing this in America like 10 years ago. Canada is finally catching up. A teen in Nova Scotia has been arrested for government breaches. This headline is terrible. Let me just summarize it for you. A teenager has been arrested in Nova Scotia for scraping information off of a public website.
Was it last week they ruled that's not a crime anymore here?
Yes.
If it's public and you get it, that's no longer a crime. And
he figured it out because the URL was sequential. Correct?
It was there. Yeah. So the Freedom of Information incidences are given an ID, and it's probably just the key in the database.
Well, there's a website that hosts Freedom of Information request responses, because those should be public. If one person asks about government impropriety through a Freedom of Information request, chances are somebody else might ask for it. Let's put it on a website. Seems like a good idea to me.
But the URL is constructed from that database ID,
which is sequential.
Those are sequential. And this kid, you know, he's probably pretty good at computers because he's young and he figured out not only that they were doing that, but also he created a real quick script to automate downloading
four. So that is the only access control mechanism that this site had, was that you didn't know the number. And so there would, like, if you requested a document that contains non-public information, the website would not stop you from doing that. So it's not like as if he broke into the website or defeated some kind of security mechanism.
There was
on the website.
No security.
There was no security.
Yeah, but he is in some trouble because Canada doesn't have those same laws. And it's kind of sad because it's their fault.
It seemed like they arrested his whole family and they sent 15 people.
Oh yeah, they definitely like made the show of force and stormed the house and took all the computers.
They sent the whole family to Labrador.
Yeah,
that should be a crime. Camp. if you're in, if you happen to be a viewer in Canada and know somebody that's handling this, let them know that this is really dumb. And they should apologize to the kid's family.
And they're watching this show.
And for the love of God, don't mistype the URL when you're entering your Freedom of Information URL because you could be violating a law.
You didn't even know.
You didn't even know. They're gonna put you away forever. All right, switching gears a little bit to design. There's a cute robot.
Look at him. I considered putting this in the robot section, but it's more of a design story. It's actually a toy to teach your kid basic programming principles, but instead of just sitting him down in front of a screen, it's more of a kinesthetic learning experience where you get to place the different blocks together and then it makes the robot do something.
So there are programming constructs like for loops and, go-to type routines. You can do that with blocks.
I don't know if it's even... Show that picture again.
Yeah, you can make the robot smile or you make the robot go forward or back up or frown or...
The pink, yellow, and blue blocks are like the 1 to 3 year old blocks. And the green blocks are the 6+ blocks.
Yeah, so there's like two sets. I think the beginner set I think is like $130, and then it's $250 for the full set.
Yeah.
What are the odds? I mean, I don't know much about kids, but I've been around enough kids to know. What are the odds that by the time they turn 6, they're still going to have all of the 3-year-old blocks? Because they work together.
Yeah, they do work. It's unlikely.
Yeah.
The parents would have to be paying very close attention. Also, I question giving blocks. They look pretty small to a 3-year-old because I could see a little kid just going.
I think that's got to be bigger than, because that the size of that thing is. Also, what are the odds that's probably a lithium battery in that little guy? What are the odds that's going to make it for 6 years?
Can you charge it?
There's no chance.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, yeah, but the charge cycles, he's going to last for like 2 minutes by the end.
After our last story, the only question on my mind is it sophisticated enough to write a web scraper in?
You think he could steal LinkedIn profiles?
I don't think that's what the robot does.
Or Canadian documents.
That's one of the blocks. It's like smile, spin in a circle, steal LinkedIn profiles.
Steal the Declaration.
Repeat forever.
Well, now I have a problem using the word steal when we're just scraping information off a website. So maybe download would be the name of the block.
That sounds pretty cute though. Any of you have kids? Maybe you're interested in something like that.
Is that? I thought we had. Oh yeah, yeah. The Wired story. So we get the Wired Reddit redesign.
I think we had mentioned this previously and I wasn't sure, but this actually has some screenshots of the design. I think personally this looks like a big improvement. Having not used it, I can't say for sure, but I think making the fonts bigger, putting all of your subreddits from the top and moving them to the sidebar, I think that makes it way easier to access everything you need.
Yeah, but I don't like that narrow content column.
Yeah, there's actually, you can do it with, this has a list like they do in normal Reddit, but there's also a card view and there's different things. You can see it if you scroll down.
But when you're loading certain content inside that little narrow middle column, I hate that. Like if it's a big picture.
Yeah, this is the card view. So it's some that's like cards or.
Yeah, there's probably way more fidelity to that picture that I'm not getting.
But I mean, before you just had that tiny thumbnail.
No, so. You can click the thumbnails. They'll load in line now.
Yeah. Reddit. I feel like it's probably improvement. There are some people, of course, as you might imagine, who immediately are like, change, they get very angry about that. Well, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
You think the users of Reddit would be annoying like that?
There was another story we didn't include about the CEO of Reddit saying that the users are like the worst problem.
Former CEO,
yeah.
It's really
because of the users.
He wasn't just talking about Reddit. He was talking about Reddit and Twitter and Level 1 text forum. And he pointed out that the user base is a little toxic.
I think there's good communities, good pockets. And I think that this will serve a purpose well. I think some other people were complaining because people's custom themes will break, but they can still theme their own subreddits, so I don't know. I think this is mostly ups and not downs.
One annoying thing about the current Reddit design is that if you use privacy-respecting browsers, every time you go to the homepage, you get a pop-up to be like, hey, you're not logged in. You should totally log in. Mm. And it's just...
Oh. And that mobile site trying to get me to download the app.
Every time.
It's never going to happen. I'm not going to do it.
That's actually made me use Reddit quite a bit less.
Yeah, that's super annoying.
Maybe the redesign will be better. We'll see.
I doubt it.
I'm so salty about it, you could make a stool out of...
Good segue, Wendell. Good segue.
So this designer is he's trying to do vegan furniture design. And so he's literally making furniture out of salt and dirt.
I appreciate the effort, but I don't... Like, this is something... I read the whole article expecting him to go into this. Is wood not vegan? Is stone not vegan? Like...
Well, it's not from animals.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand. Like, what why if, couldn't you make furniture out of one of those
materials? What if
it's
a wood that beavers could eat?
Has no one told him that bacteria live in the dirt?
There's whole things there.
Oh, that's right. You could be killing them.
And worms.
Now, of course, the obvious joke, if you scroll back up, is that's Krista's stool after she plays Overwatch.
Queen of Salt. I don't know what the stool's legs are made out of there.
There were a lot of people last week that were very upset with the bagging story.
Oh, the tea bagging story? Yeah. I can read the comments on that one. Do some people not like the tea bagging stuff?
No.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, you know, you're perpetuating or whatever. It was just like...
Well, a lot of people were defending that girl, and it might be true that they said that article was blowing it out. But there were some quotes. There was one quote was like, that's why I don't even like playing these games.
Yeah, maybe there was a different article that framed it differently. But just in a friendly context, I don't really see the problem.
Back to this story. Now, I read some of this. It's very long. I didn't read it all, I'm going to admit.
I read the whole thing.
I don't understand why there are piles of dirt. I don't...
Doesn't go into it. He just says, I want to make vegan furniture. And I don't really understand why he picked salt, other than he said it was interesting to work with.
Is the pile of stuff... There's garbage. Is the pile of stuff...
That's found object.
Is that a piece of furniture? Does that go in my home? I don't...
Yeah, it's a found object furniture.
So this is like the garbage bean bag?
I guess so.
That seems unsafe.
That's, you know, that's for Ernie.
What about used needles?
Oscar. Oscar the Grouch. That's what I'm thinking of from Sesame Street.
Enjoy. Nothing, you know, I've never had a better night's sleep than on this bag of used needles.
Acupuncture.
I can't even feel my back pain anymore. Yeah, and that one looks like hooves, but apparently this is vegan. Is it a bird's nest?
I can't remember what this one was made out of. Most of the stuff he's done was made out of salt, though. I thought the salt stuff was kind of interesting. It's not really practical, but it's an interesting idea to try and sculpt something with salt.
Well, the giant pile of sand is also impractical, because how's my Roomba going to deal with that?
Your Roomba's not going to deal... My question is, and you brought this up earlier, was what does the dog do? Like, if you have a dog or a cat, like, and you have a salt stool in your living room,
yeah,
it's just going to lick it. You're not going to have a stool anymore. But then we thought, okay, this guy's, like, super vegan. He probably doesn't have pets, right? No pets.
Yeah, well, that's the PETA thing. Like, even having a pet is insulting to the animal kingdom. And you should...
Once again, the Level 1 news is so far off the rails, we're going to have to end it here. See you in the next one.
Bye!